Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a story from professional storyteller Robin Schulte, who will be performing in Boca Raton next week.
I find this ring at the back of my mom's big wooden jewelry box. It's small and gold, and there is a black square on the top, and then the number 19 on one side, and 58 on the other. My mom says, "That's my class ring, honey, put it back." But it fits my finger. I slide it over my knuckle, and it swings loose around my 9-year-old finger, and it stays on if I keep my finger bent. I'm sitting in the middle of my mom's big unmade bed, and I'm watching her fold laundry. Her big wooden jewelry box sits open in my crisscross lap. My mom is too tired to argue with me about that ring, and she disappears into the closet with this stack of laundry. And me? I don't put the ring back. I just lift up and I slide it under my hip and I settle back down on top of it. And then my mom comes out of the closet and she's carrying with her this great big suitcase, which she heaves up and then nudges onto the bed with her hip. And I say, "Are we going somewhere?" She stops and she pushes my bangs out of my face and she says, "I thought we'd go and spend a few days with your Uncle John and Aunt Marilyn, just you kids and me. Would you like that?" And I say, "Well, sure, but Dad's not coming?" And she says, "No, honey, your dad's not coming." So the next day we load into the car, me hiding that ring by tucking my left hand into my right. And in no time, we are screaming down the highway, 85 miles an hour. Mom smoking like a chimney, hanging her cigarette out of the crack in the car window. And when we get there, Uncle John and Aunt Marilyn, they take us to Louisville Lake. There is a blanket in the dirt on the shore and a bucket of chicken from a place called Grandpa's. Mom and Aunt Marilyn, they sit shoulder to shoulder in this whispered confession. The sun is therapy hot. The water is murky brown. And the wind is causing goose flesh on my dry skin. My mom looks up and she says, "Robin, honey, go play. You don't need to be listening to this." But I don't want to go. I want to stay and listen, as if somehow knowing will help me to understand the things that I can't seem to wrap my head around. But I go. I wade out into the murky unknown, my hands raised over my head, that water rising until it tickles the underside of my swimming suit. I keep thinking that my foot is going to brush up against a dead body that I am just sure is lying somewhere on the floor of that lake. I'm making my way out to my sister, Andrea, and my older cousin, Debbie. They're playing and splashing there in the water, and I get closer and closer until finally my sister turns, and she sees me, and she sticks her tongue out. And then she, open-palmed with both of her hands, she splashes me, and this wave of water comes up, and I gasp as it hits my shoulders. I am so mad at her. I'm so mad that I take my hands and I splash her back. And I feel that ring slip from my straightened finger and disappear into the murky brown. I stand there frozen and I watch as Debbie and Andrea swim away completely unaware. And then finally, when I can move, I flail myself towards the shore. I am a windmill, arms and legs bringing these sheets of water from my limbs as I struggle to make it to the shore. And when I get there, I gasp and I say, the ring, it's gone. I splashed, it slipped, I'm sorry. And my mom says, "Robin, was that my class ring?" I told you not to wear it. My cousin Shelly, she's a teenager and she's watching. She's looking at my face and then my mom's and then back to mine. And then she is up and running toward the water. And she says over her shoulder, come on, we'll look, we'll find it. But the lake is huge. And Shelly is so small as she enters that water. And the ring is smaller still. But it's out there somewhere, and hope rises in me. And then Shelly is bent, and she is reaching down and bringing up fists full of that silky silt from the bottom of the lake. She's watching it sift through her fingers. Again and again, she reaches down a human sluice, and she watches as that silt filters through her fingers. Silt and silt and more silt. Only silt, no ring. But then, mouth open, she raises her hand up out of the water, thumb and middle finger touching the ring between. Miraculously, and my mom is at the shore. She has a cigarette out to her side, and she's on her tiptoes, and she's saying, oh, you didn't find it. Shelly, you didn't. You didn't find it. But she did, and we emerge from that forgiving, generous water. We are dripping and joyous and renewed, and on the shore we dance around and we laugh and we hug and we cry. And my mom takes that ring, and she puts it in her change purse, and then she turns away from me. And I snuggle up next to her on the blanket, but she won't look at me or talk to me, and I wait patiently. And eventually, she puts her hand on my shoulder. And then she says, boy, are you lucky, Missy. And then the smallest of smiles. And for that moment, in a world of secrets and lost things, something has been found.
Robin Schulte with a little childhood memory.
Wow, that last line really took my breath away, Michael. In a world of secrets and lost things, something has been found.
What was found besides the ring? It sounds much more important than just the ring.
Well, I'll tell you what I got out of the story. We have something hanging over this family. There is something going on between the mother and the father. We can tell by the whispers, by the getaway we're talking, by the dialogue that she gives us. Dad, aren't you coming? No, I'm not coming. She puts that in dialogue, and we know that when something is put in dialogue, we're supposed to pay attention to it. And until I heard that last line, the one that just jumped out for me was, it's out there somewhere, talking about the ring. And of course, what I took that for is hope, that there is hope. Not only hope that they'll find the ring, but hope perhaps that what her parents have, since I heard the end of the story, what her parents have lost will hopefully be found.
It was interesting how she mentioned her mother said, Dad's not coming. Yet from a little girl's point of view, she had no idea why.
No, she didn't, but the storyteller chooses the details very carefully, and that's what makes somebody a professional writer or a professional storyteller, is not just telling the story as you remember it, but shaping the story, bringing certain things into sharp relief, putting some things in scene and some things in summary, bringing our attention to certain things.
First of all, it's virtually impossible. It's incredible that they found that ring.
Absolutely incredible. And I was thinking that if my cousin had done that, I would love my cousin for the rest of my life. It is so astonishing. But I think that's what makes it such a beautiful symbol. I mean, a story has got to be not about the normal stuff you'd expect. There's got to be something interesting, something surprising in the resolution to a problem in the story. And so we certainly don't expect that ring to be found. And perhaps if it were an ocean instead of a lake, perhaps that ring would not have been found. So there needs to be, for the story to succeed, something a little surprising. But also, I think what the story tells us is, if we can find a needle in a haystack, in this case, if we can find a class of ring in a silty lake bed, then perhaps her parents can find their way back to love.
My favorite part of the story was, after the ring was found, her mother was upset, but eventually they snuggled up together. It was such a compassionate way that she told it.
And it was such a real way. You know, Robin does something truly wonderful with her voice. She doesn't put on voices. You've got to be Meryl Streep or else have the accent in your back pocket in order to do accents really well. I never attempt accents. But there is so much you can do with tone of voice to create the distinction between characters. And I love when she says, "That's my class ring, honey. Put it back." Just like, you know, not taking on a voice, but taking on a tone. Also, when she says, "I'm so mad at her." I mean, she says it like a little girl. She doesn't have to make a little child's voice, but she just says it with a tone that implies a little girl. And that's one of the many differences between storytelling and acting. She's not trying to get us to believe she is that little girl at that moment or she is that mother. She's just, in our mind's eye, creating that image of that person.
And she does such a good job of painting this scenery.
In all senses, in sound, like whispered confession. And something that I noticed, a lot of attention to fingers and hands. The first time it was her 10-year-old hand was so small that she had to bend her finger. And then the sifting the silt through the fingers. And then she said something about how she hid the ring in her hands. And she's got four or five places in the story where she mentions hands. What it does for us as listeners, what do hands mean? Hands mean connection. On a direct level, yes, you're holding a ring in your hand, you're hiding a ring in your hand, you're sifting silt through your hands. The story is about connection. We can see that the emphasis on hands, on a symbolic level, whether it is conscious or not, tells us that we are watching a family and watching a family pull apart and come back together.
Thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. You said Robin is a professional storyteller performing in Boca. Where and when?
She's performing next Saturday, that's January 20th, at 3:30 at the Boca Raton Downtown Public Library. The address for that is 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue. It's a good idea to register in advance. The phone number for the library, 561-393-7852, or you can register online.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to share a story for the Public Storyteller?
Email me at cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu. We'd love to have your stories.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.